Thanks for listening to the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon on Fox Sports Radio.
Greetings, welcome inside. Happy Friday.
Today's Friday.
Night two of the return of the NBA. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon live from the Geico Studios as baseball teeters on the brink. The NBA showing everybody we're here, ready to play, and James Harden may wind up with 100. We got to start with this. End of the first quarter in the bubble in Orlando. Dallas and Houston tied at 42. James Harden, in 9 minutes of play, 23 points in the first quarter. Getting underway right now. He is 6 out of 6 from the floor. Mm-hmm. He is 9 out of 9 from the free throw line. Anything he wants to do, he is doing. He may get 100 tonight. He was 2 points off the pace of getting 100, and he still sat for a couple of minutes.
Sat for the final 2:41 of the first quarter. Took a spill early on where there had to be the pause of, uh-oh, when he went to the rack. But a perfect night. And the call of the game, you got Mark Jones and Doris Burke on the call. Mark Jones, he is hotter than fish grease right now. I never thought I'd hear something like that.
I've never been burnt, knock wood, I've never been burned by fish grease. I didn't know fish grease was hotter than any other kind of hot, fiery, flaming grease.
It's so damn hot.
Apparently it is.
Well, I think you're just trying to
stay away from any kind of grease.
Yeah, I think you're just trying to ascribe some specificity to it.
Yeah.
Right? A Friday fish fry kind of thing going on
okay,
there?
Oh, okay, because it's fry, see, Friday fish.
That's why he chose that. As a guy who's had many burns in his life from fish grease and everything else, it's not comfortable. I'm looking at my right hand, and there's two fingers that I'm not quite sure you can get good fingerprints on right now. But it's the curiosity on the other side going with the small ball lineup is that even on missed shots, it's kind of like a lob. And Luka Doncic is throwing up bricks and air balls. And for the most part, his big guys have been able to recover and make them into assists. And Porzingis had 15 in that first quarter. He with a nice, snappy new haircut, he was dominating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I tell you, two big marquee games. Look, we have almost a full slate of games tonight. And two big marquee games, obviously the one going on right now, Houston and Dallas. And earlier tonight, we had Milwaukee and Boston. Now, we'll get to Major League Baseball in a couple of minutes. Also, big news in the NFL we got to get to.
Oh, yeah.
Antonio Brown now knows what his future may or may not hold in the National Football League.
Yeah, it's filled up like a Friday fish fry. There's so much going on.
See, I would see more like it's hotter than the roof of my mouth after my first bite of pizza. Because that's what I think. I would equate it to pizza on a Friday. Because Friday's a big night. You know what? Screw it. We're done with the week. Let's just get pizza.
That's what I would say. It's the hot pocket when you were in college and you screwed yourself.
It's so hot.
It came out.
I gotta eat it.
Molten lava.
Can you wait 90 seconds? Nope. I gotta start eating it now. But if you just wait 90 seconds, everything will be. Nope. I'm gonna do it, and I'm gonna live with a burned skin in the top of my roof of my mouth for 4 days. It's worth it to eat it right now instead of waiting a minute and a half for it to cool down. No, that's how I do it. So we'll keep you updated, obviously, Houston and Dallas, especially if James Harden. Look, he's on pace to shatter Kobe's 81. But right now, again, 23 points as they start the second quarter. Houston leads Dallas 48-47. Meanwhile, earlier tonight in what could be an Eastern Conference final preview, because, you know, you hear that all the time, Giannis, Tatum, Bucks, Celtics, there was one clear winner here, and it was the Greek Freak.
Tatum driving up on Lopez. Knocked away by Brook. Caught by Tatum. Ball is loose and Matthews knocked it away. 6 block shots for Lopez. Shuffle down to Giannis. Slam it. What a pass by DiVincenzo.
Bucks Radio Network on the call. They win it over the Celtics 119-112. And in this game is a snapshot of why the Celtics, as good of a year that they're having now, they're not going to be able to compete with Milwaukee. When it comes down to it, it comes down to the playoffs. This is a snapshot. Who's the big young star on Boston? Jason Tatum, right?
Jaylen Brown.
This guy. Jaylen Brown is terrific, too. But, you know, look, Jason Tatum's the right. budding young star. You know, 24 a game. He's the guy. And, look, ever since he came out of school, like, this guy, he's going to be a star. He's going to be a star. But he is still a young star. And he is still a young star to the tune that he was 2-for-18 tonight for 5 points. All right, now, this is the first game back after being away for 4 months, so it's not suddenly, oh, my God, Jason Tatum stinks all of a sudden. No, but this is where Jason Tatum will still have nights like this. He will have nights like this in the playoffs just a little bit too often because being a young superstar, you are still figuring out the consistency in your game. Now, he's figured out a lot over the course of the past year. And, look, Jaylen Brown has turned into a terrific player as well. But he's going to have games where he goes 2-for-18 for 5 points and really crushes it. Giannis, 36 tonight. Giannis is never going to have a game like that. It's never. That's the real difference between the big superstars like LeBron and Giannis and Anthony Davis and the other players who are trying to get to that level, is that it's not the fact that guys like LeBron and AD go for 50 every night. It doesn't happen. It's not like James Harden goes for 50 every night. That's not what it is, even though Harden's going to get 50 in about 5 minutes. It's not that that's what they do. It's every night your superstar, LeBron, AD, Harden, are going to score 30, or they're going to give you 20, 10, and 10. They're never going to have a game where you go, what happened to this guy this game? That's never going to happen. That's the real difference between the superstars of the true superstars of the game, why LeBron is so good, because he does it every single night. Anthony Davis does it every single night. Giannis does it every single night. He's not going to have that. Earlier on in his career, he's had a couple of rough games in the playoffs. That's not going to happen. That's not going to happen to these guys, and that's why they're so incredibly more valuable than even we think over the course of, because every game, when you can write down a star for affecting a game the way they do, that goes yards and miles past. I don't know why I said yards. That goes miles past other teams as you're trying to win with consistency. The Celtics don't have, and their young stars don't have that consistency yet. And Giannis is there. And when you can pencil him in and say, okay, Giannis is going to be 30 and 12 and 8, and how are you going to compete with that? You need three guys to give you those, sometimes, of your starters to give you that. So that's the real difference that sometimes we forget about when we talk about LeBron and Giannis. We get bored talking about them because they've been so good for so long, and look at it. But that's the real. This is what separates everybody, is the consistency. It's not that LeBron can do things that absolutely nobody else can do. It's LeBron can do things so incredibly consistently that we look at the other guys and go, okay, you got to get your game up there where you're doing it night in and night out, and not three out of every four nights during the regular season is great, but you have one or two nights in the playoffs where it doesn't happen, and suddenly your team's going home.
Well, yeah, you're trying to find that next guy to step up, and you remember how locked down this Bucks defense is, and the goal off the jump was, all right, Tatum's not beating us today. We are just going to frustrate the hell out of him, and you saw it over the course of the game, and the fact that he was that poor and they were still in this game late. And if you go back and watch the final 5 minutes, the referees were really put on task and had a lot of oddball situations to navigate. There was one that, trying to get through a screen, Giannis may have landed a punch to the nether regions, and it went to the review. This was great. The review goes through, and they wanted to know if it was, you know, an act, a hostile act is what they called it. Well, they stopped play, and you know he hit him, so shouldn't it have still been a foul, which would have been number 6, and he would have missed the final 3 minutes of the game. And then later he drives the lane and runs over Marcus Smart. A little bit of a debate, but it's initially called a charge. There's foul number 6. Nope! Turned over! It's a block. Marcus Smart after the game. Quote, we all know what that was all about. Giannis had 6 fouls. So superstar calls are going to help you along the way, too. And I don't know that Jason Tatum's necessarily.
No, he's not. He's not getting that superstar call. Yeah, no. That's not. Among the things you won't be seeing is Jason Tatum getting the superstar's calls that way.
But you're right. I mean, but even if LeBron's not having having a big game shooting like he didn't last night. There were enough other things, and, you know, had Anthony Davis for three quarters, was dominant, and then did his normal cloak of invisibility act in the fourth. But LeBron does enough to get the other players involved, even if his shot's not going to be there, and is still willing to take the ball down the stretch. And the parting of the Red Sea on that putback, which is coaching tape clip number one. Hey, we box out on miss shots here. Anybody caught looking around in awe of the guy coming down the lane, you're fired. So, yeah, there's a bit of that, too. The, you know, I'm playing against LeBron kind of hype that gets into.
Hey, not quite the dream team of, hey, can you get my picture while I'm standing on the court?
No, not quite that.
It's really, really cool. But that's really it. I mean, when you want to say, well, what's the level between the top players and the next ascending players, it's really just about consistency. Because it's not that you're look, as much of a physical freak as LeBron is at this point, look, being older, you're getting into your mid-30s, he's reinvented himself more as a point guard. The guy's talent is absolutely undeniable. His physical presence, what he can do, is undeniable. But his will to be able to, whatever's not working, I'm finding another way to do it tonight. Tonight's not going to be a night where I score 35, like last night, obviously, was not one of those nights. AD had the big scoring night. Okay, this is where I'm going to set things up and then find my way into the game. And that's exactly what he did. And he was able to affect the game so many different ways other than scoring. Even if it's an off night, he will still find a way to do that. And Giannis, even if it's not a night where he's scoring 35, which happens almost all the time, he will still find a way to affect the game in other ways. James Harden's not scoring 50 every night, but some nights when he scores 25, will he have 13 assists? Damn right he'll have 13 assists. Yeah. And suddenly that, you know, those guys don't have bad games. They only have – sometimes they'll have a bad game in one part, but it doesn't look like a bad game because they affect the game so many other ways. This is what all those other young stars have to get up to. There's nights we'll look at Damian Lillard. How does Damian Lillard have 12 points? I thought he was a superstar. No, it's about the consistency, and that's really what it is, and that's the big difference you saw tonight. Why are Giannis and the Bucks so good? Because you can put Giannis down for affecting the game that kind of way every single night, and Tatum and Brown. Look, they're still young. They're ascending. This is not anything against them. They just haven't gotten to that point yet where they're in their peak part of their careers. And this is why, hey, Bucks, Lakers, Clippers, these are the three favorites because they have the biggest superstars to get all the way to the NBA Finals.
Finish the job. And we got you mentioned Damian Lillard. You want to talk about a great game. Josef Nurkic coming back in, and he was just ridiculous. 18, 9 boards, 6 blocks, 5 assists. We take what we get. And we're not going to get upset about any of this. We're celebrating the bubble.
We were on the air the night he got hurt. Remember that? We were on the air when he got hurt that night. Oof, man, that was something.
Gruesome. Here he is a year later, and now he may be a guy that is part of a contingent that can upset the Western Conference. I dig it. I've got multiple screens going. I got the White Sox. I got basketball. Let's go.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I just got to take a breath and step off for a second because I'm just so mad the Mets lost. I'm just so mad. But, you know, it's not like it's the first time I've seen it. It was just such a horrendous loss tonight. We got Rick Bucher coming up in about 20 minutes. We'll have the latest on everything going on. Second night, the NBA reboot going tremendously well. It's fun. Yeah. The bubble is terrific, and we are seeing a lot of – I don't want to say we're seeing a lot of great basketball, but we're seeing a lot of fun basketball. And we're seeing a lot of points. We're not seeing a lot of 83-77 games, you know, so it's okay. Look, the Rockets and Mavericks are going to hit 100 points each in this game in the next 2 minutes, and there's still 7 minutes to go in the third quarter.
Yeah.
So we're seeing a pretty nice reboot so far of the NBA season. And so far tonight, where are all these points coming from in the Rockets and the Mavericks? Well, James Harden had most of them. 23 in the first quarter. He was on pace for 92. Then he slowed down a bit, but still, he's got 30 right now with 6 minutes to go in the third quarter. A 50-point night, not out of the realm of possibility for Harden as they play a nip-tuck game with the Mavericks. Both Porzingis and Luka Doncic, they combined for 42. Yeah. Porzingis with 24. We'll keep you updated on this game. But, you know, we're seeing – and it's a big – Mike, I want to say it's a big when you compare it to Major League Baseball and how both sports are starting around the same time and baseball's kind of making a left turn and it's kind of shaky and you know, maybe the wheels are coming off a bit and the NBA has had a smooth takeoff so far. And it, some of it's just the difference between being in the bubble and not being in the bubble. I mean, that's really what it is. The, you know, I'm a bubble convert for a reason. The players are in the bubble. The NBA is keeping tabs on them, making sure they're not doing anything they're not supposed to be doing. And guess what? We have no positive COVID-19 tests. We have a season. We have confidence. Major League Baseball is a different story. We've had a week now. We have six teams not playing tonight because of COVID-19. And it's just a, you know, some of it's a difference between being able to control things in a bubble and then not being able to control things in a bubble.
Well, restrict variables, right? Shorten that equation and trying to get yourself to your end game. And that's what we have with the NBA. And the players have all bought in. Yeah, a couple of guys have left the bubble. You've had the couple of family emergencies. Zion Williamson had left, and we saw him come back on a minutes restriction. You have Montrezl Harrell still out for the Clippers and Lou Williams. You know, whether he's going to be available for the game because they've got Zion and the Pelicans Saturday night. But for the most part, everybody's found their joy in playing cornhole or going fishing or playing video games or whatever the case is and just occupying their time, putting in the paces. There's been a lot of talk of guys doing a lot of Zoom meetings with their management and friends and creative friends around, you know, whatever industry they're in to do their brand building, saying, well, we're locked down. Normally we're just going straight from training into games. And once the season finishes, we have a very short time before we have to get back to work. So here I'm like, well, might as well just do the Zoom call. All right, what's my next shirt look like or the next shoe? Let's start designing it. So making the most of it, and it's paying off by having action back on the field or on the court, I should say. And it looks good. They're shooting well thus far, and everybody's in knowing it's a dead sprint to the playoffs.
The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon live from the Geico Studios. We'll have more on the NBA coming up in a few minutes when Rick Bucher stops by again. A really fun first reboot night plus that we're enjoying so far here. But today for Major League Baseball, man, it was really difficult. And Rob Manfred came at us with a haymaker between the eyes, warning the players' union that the season is in jeopardy, the season is at risk because of the latest developments involving positive COVID-19 tests. Earlier today, the story broke that the St. Louis Cardinals had a couple of players test positive. Their game got postponed. And on the heels of that, the reports the Marlins and all their positive tests go back to players not doing the right thing as far as social distancing and self-quarantining. They were out at hotel bars and out where they weren't supposed to be. And this is where all the positive COVID-19 tests that they have come from. And it's a really difficult day for baseball because Rob Manfred's not lying. This is the, hey, we could shut this thing down in a couple of days. This is your last chance to get it going. And to make sense of today, it's honestly a day of good news and bad news. If I'd say, because look, we want to try to find a way to keep playing, right? So I'll give you the good news first. The good news is if it's one of two ways that players are getting a positive test for COVID-19, right? There's either one of two ways. There's either your normal life, what happens, you know, you're traveling, because initially it was thought the Marlins got it during their travel. And, you know, there's certain, if it happens during travel or what you're doing, okay, that's one way. The other way is doing things you're not supposed to and being knuckleheads. And I feel better about baseball because it's about the Marlins being knuckleheads, because in theory, you can control this. All right, you can come down and say, what the blank is wrong with you guys? What is wrong with you? Everybody's trying to do the right thing. You got everybody else doing it now because you decide we don't want to subscribe to the same norms here. In Florida is where we live, where COVID cases are going through the roof and people still don't want a social distance. How do you guys put everything at risk? But this is controllable. You would think that, okay, this could be, all right, the spotlight's on, you were watching, all right, you're right. That's something controllable. If it was the flip side, and it was, hey, the Marlins were in an airport, and that's how they got it, then I would just say, you know what, that's it. We're only going to, however long we play, and that's going to be it, because there's going to be no way Major League Baseball can get around this. If they can't do the normal things of even traveling or getting to a ballpark or doing even the safe social distancing things that you would think they'd be doing, then how are we going to play? So it actually, you know, I feel better about the game going forward if it's about players being knuckleheads than if it's players that just get it and there's no way around it. It was, hey, we wore masks, we did this, but somehow I still picked up COVID-19. So I'm that's actually the good part of today is that I think maybe they can control this, and this is the part that goes forward with.
No, I think you're 100% right, and that's why I was skeptical when this came out and they started to ascribe it, you know, to travel and theorizing there. It's like, okay, maybe that's the case, but you're talking best of breed, best of brand partners for the league across the board, and you know that airlines and hotels right now, what are they doing? They're cleaning it twice. Four times before they're ever letting you in a room. Why? Because they know that a positive test or two probably A, shuts them down for a little while, and B, it gets into the reviews of, hey, this place had an issue, and now you go to the bottom of the list, right, in terms of recommendations and everything else in that area. So there's a lot of money involved for the partners to make sure they're doing it right. So that's why I figured in this process that there was going to have to be a knucklehead factor that came into play.
Where's a knucklehead factor? Here it is, knucklehead factor.
And that's exactly what it is. Is now it's, all right, these guys were at bars. These guys were hanging out. They were acting as if they were in Jetersburg. Unfortunately here, when you pick up a positive test, it's not like you left the cell phone in the bucket at the front door when you entered the facility, right? That stuff comes back with you. And so now they had to get on buses. All the infected players and personnel were getting on buses to go back to Miami, was the last report rolling out. So that's the biggest thing. And before we finished in hour one, talking about, you know, the messaging that Justin Turner of the Dodgers had given to Alonso Rizzo, who reports on them here in the greater L.A. area. And, you know, part of it being here's what we need to do and taking some of those controls. Because remember, we had the optics of baseball, too, that people were getting a little bit upset about, that they were being a bit too cavalier with the face masks, distancing, high fives, etc., that as a team, they have to police themselves better that way. So the veterans will pick that up. The coaches will have to pick that up. And then they're sending in compliance personnel. That was an announcement earlier this week. Now it's just getting them integrated with each team and you go forward. So in theory, again, not it's kind of like a league of their own. Now you're going to have a chaperone. You know, the eye
in
the
make
sky
sure you're
is
doing
watching
it all.
You. That's right.
Well, you know, but that's the thing. And that's the bad news part of it. I would say the good news, bad news is that as fans, just think about how all in you are for the Major League Baseball season. Are we all in? Or are we into the point where we're enjoying it, but knowing full well we might not see the whole season?
I'm all in. I just watched White Sox right. Royals on a Friday night.
Yeah. No. Well, I mean that. Well, you and I are both cursed with Mets being Mets and White
Sox
we're
nuts.
Fans. But most fans, because of the bubble, because of, you know, look, everybody knows what's going on in the world, and the excitement level of the NBA is different because they're in a bubble and it's a lot easier to control. But baseball fans, as in as they are they all in? Are we all in thinking we're going to see the end of the season, everything is great? I don't think we're all into that aspect. I also don't think the players, and that's a bigger deal, the players are all in on the aspect. They look like, and judging by the actions of the Marlins, and you see some players on the bench not wearing masks, not social distancing, and you wonder, are they just here saying, how long are we going to really play for? I'm going to play however long we're here for, and then the season's going to end. I don't have any false hopes that we're going to see the end of the season, play through the playoffs and win. I'm just kind of here to show up. I don't get the sense by the players, and even their reactions to the game so far, are still all in on the season. And if you're not all in on the season, then we're not going to play the rest of it. Because you're not going to be as careful as you need to be, and you're not going to take the care you need to, because if you're thinking that I'm just here to kind of play however long, well then we're not going to play the whole season. and something's going to happen and bad decisions are going to be made and carelessness is going to lead to bad decisions, and that's what we're going to wind up getting. You got to be all in on this. And this is part of Rob Manfred telling everybody, listen, this season's at risk. You got to be all in for this. I disagree with a lot of what Rob Manfred has done in a lot of his time as commissioner, and even just last couple of nights with Joe Kelly and the Astros, but he needed to do this and say, if you don't get your act together, we're done. So let's do this now, or Monday I could pull the plug on this. And hopefully this gets everybody's attention, because right now you could tell the players still aren't really all in on it.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Hopefully you're not trying to get on TikTok later on tonight. Looks the United States now considering banning the app as Microsoft is trying to acquire it. President Trump is ready to ban TikTok. So I got to have to sit down and tell my daughter, hey, listen, TikTok might not be around for a bit. Are you going to be okay? And then I'm going to have to go to her friends who are all even bigger into TikTok and go, hey, listen, I hope you're going to be okay, because TikTok might be down for a little bit. So just, you know, find something else to do for just a little while. I mean, not too much, just a little while.
I told my kids they had to get off it a couple of weeks ago.
Were they doing the savage dance?
No, they weren't doing anything. They would just sit like and go down the rabbit hole of sitting there for an hour at a time watching these dopes. And I said, come on. Let's be productive with our lives. Either make videos to try to figure out how to monetize or get off.
Yeah, listen, if that's the case, we'll just bring Vine back. I mean, I can watch 7 seconds of something over and over and over again.
That's it.
I mean, seriously, Teicher was one of the first early investors in Vine when he was 12 years old.
I was, actually.
I remember the night Vine died on Twitter when it was RIP Vine. I was like,
Jay.
Vines are done. Well, GIFs just replaced Vines.
They couldn't fill that void, Jay.
You know. Wait, if I go to bringbackvines.com, is it going to, and I trace it back to you, you're going to be the owner and proprietor, AT?
I'm pretty sure you're going to see t-shirts for sale too.
Okay, bring.
I made a me and Mike Harmon collabed on it.
That's right.
Bringbackvines.com. So you know Vine is going to trend at some point on Twitter tonight.
I hope so.
You know Vine is going to trend. Here are the greatest vines of all time. Remember that was the biggest thing on YouTube for about a year? The best vines? It was like cat videos. Here's the best cat videos of the year. It was like, here's the best Vine videos back to back to back to back to back. And you could get lost in that for like an hour going, oh, look at these Vine videos. I want to keep watching.
You know who didn't do that?
Who's that?
This guy.
Well, you know, you're a fun hater.
Yay.
You're a fun hater. That's what
I found other places to watch videos.
Wow. Okay. So we learned about Mike Harman. Yeah.
I meant the YouTube. What are you talking about?
I don't know. You just said I found other place to watch videos.
Huge boner.
I just... Fox Sports Radio, Jason Smith and Mike Harman. Joining us now on the hotline, Fox Sports 1, Bleacher Report, NBA insider extraordinaire, friend of the show who's got to be saying, what the hell conversation did I just walk into? Rick, are you going to be okay without TikTok if TikTok gets banned? You going to be all right?
I'll be all right, but the thing that I'm pushing for is when the Knicks come back and they have virtual fans, that you two guys are the faces in every row. That's what I'm looking for.
That would be fantastic.
I'm down with that.
Us barking at Tom Thibodeau. Let's go. You know, you could bring back some defense for this nightcap too, Rick.
Why now? Let's see where we can take it.
Hey, overall, what's been your – look, we're getting to talk about real live NBA basketball now for the first time in 4 months. It's awesome. All the players are healthy. Everybody's playing. What's been your big takeaway so far the first night and three quarters of the NBA restart?
I've been pleasantly surprised just with the level of competition and that we are seeing the main players play a considerable amount of time. And, you know, Zion accepted, but that – I thought that they would ease into this, and we certainly saw them ease into it with the scrimmages, but I thought that would continue for at least the first couple of games. And I just really enjoyed the fact that by and large, other than the Brooklyn Nets, who are fielding a G League team, these games have been competitive. And by all indications, it's, you know, I just love the fact that it's back and that I've got, you know, I'm either watching or I got two screens up or I'm recording. I didn't realize how much I missed that. And it looks like NBA basketball. And I wasn't sure that we were going to see that, at least not out of the gate.
Well, from that, you brought up Zion before, the minutes restriction. It immediately got to, all right, let's do the math. Do you want to make the playoffs or don't you? And
yeah.
Being judicious with how you're using the minutes. If you know you've got 15, and I know the plus minus was terrible, and we can go through, you know, some of that in the process, but the fact that he's unavailable to you, and then the decision and the explanation given by Alvin Gentry just didn't pass the smell test.
Well, they're in a tricky spot because I'll be honest, he is dynamic offensively. He's terrible defensively.
Yeah.
And if I was the coach, I'd have a hard time in a close game. It's trick or treat. And it's not just, I mean, look, you're making a lot. Everybody knows that Zion is the future star and you're building the team around him. But as you coach the team and you're asking everybody to play defense and to follow certain principles, you can't make exceptions for the new guy who's not playing that much. You just can't. I mean, you can run plays for him. You can do a lot of things for him. But, you know, some of the habits and some of the things that he's doing are kind of bad, lackadaisical defensive decisions. And I don't know, people don't seem to be looking at that end of the floor. But that's, I mean, considering how electric he is offensively, that he would get to minus 16 plus minus is really extraordinary. You have to be really bad defensively to get to that number, considering how he gets buckets like out of nothing, just because he's explosive and he's got a nose for the ball, and if he gets it and he's within 6 feet of the basket, he's like a pogo stick. It's really going to be really hard to keep him from getting something up and in. But defensively, he's a mess, and so I just feel if I were trying to win a game at the end of a game when it slows down, I'd want, you know, I'd want everybody that's going to be connected defensively. And that, so I, you know, whatever they say, that you can't call, Al Gentry can't say what I can say, which is,
sure,
look, he's horrible defensively. So we can't, he's a great player and we love him, but he just sucks defensively. So I can't play him the last couple minutes of the game. You don't really want to go there if you're the head coach.
And crossing off Rick Bucher is number of people who will get a one-on-one interview with Zion Williamson. Let me cross
well,
that
you know,
off.
And honestly, you guys joke about that, but it's what I have a problem with now with the way we cover the league. That I would say that when it's the truth, and plenty of other people in my position would not say it because they want the access.
Right.
The pandering in our business is at an all-time high, and it makes it difficult to be honest. And honestly, then the players look at it and go, well, you're a hater because nobody else is calling me out like that. And so it makes it difficult to speak the truth because everybody's used to, like, taking, you know, baby steps with the players and kid gloves and just not, you know, not being honest with where they are. And I think Zion's a great kid. I love his personality. He really is, like, he's so dynamic. He's fascinating to watch, but God, I got to tell you, you know, the Jazz came out of the gate and he makes this half-hearted lunge for an offensive rebound. And the Jazz go the other way, and it's 5-on-4, and you never see him in the picture. I'm like, come on, dude, that can't happen. We're just back to playing. We're not in the fourth quarter, and you're exhausted, and you went for a steal and didn't get it. And it was a bad look, and there were a number of those.
Hey, and I know everything you're saying. You don't ever make me feel good about the Knicks, and you're on our show every single week, and we have fun. And you tell me how bad the Knicks are all the time. I know you're not lying to me. You're telling me the truth. I get it. I'm a big boy. I can handle
it. You know, I can climb certain mountains, but some are just like, I'm not that the free solo guy that went up without any assistance. I'm not that guy. So you're asking me to be optimistic about the Knicks. Just, I can only go so far. I can only do so much. I'm only one man.
All right. Well, hey, speaking of optimism, obviously, you know, the big games tonight, we saw the Bucks win earlier. We're still watching the Rockets and the Mavericks. It'll be 150-150 pretty soon. But last night, Lakers and Clippers, we saw how competitive it was right out of the gate. I thought it was a bigger win for the Lakers than it was a loss for the Clippers, as mentally that edge, getting it back, getting Deion Waiters in and seeing him be able to contribute there. I think that was one of those, okay, the restart is going to go okay for us, and the Lakers took a big sigh of relief there that they're kind of picking up where they left off.
Yeah, I think it would have been devastating for them if they had lost, considering they were playing against a Clippers team that didn't come out and play very hard at the beginning and don't have Montrezl Harrell and Pat Bev was coming off the bench and didn't have Lou Will. And so it was one of those, it was a Greg Popovich game when he doesn't play his guys. It's like, if we beat you without our best guys, then you're really feeling bad about yourself. And if you beat us, well, we have the out that you really didn't play us because we didn't have all of our horses out there. So that game capsulizes what I think is how the Lakers have to win and the great concern I have, maybe not great, but certain concern I have for the Clippers. Because the Clippers, talent-wise, are far and away a better team. But they don't execute when the game is on the line, or they just don't do it for 48 minutes. You let Alex Caruso go coast to coast with the game on the line. That's unforgivable. I think that Kawhi, the way he was able to get to wherever he wanted to, going up against LeBron, I think Doc came into that last possession and said, let's just give it to Kawhi. He'll go against LeBron and we'll see what we get. And they didn't really run a play. The Lakers, meanwhile, they're just hanging in there. They're gonna wait and hope that you beat yourself. They can't necessarily dominate or overwhelm the Clippers if they are at their best and they're playing well. But if the Clippers slip just a little bit, then the Lakers are gonna take advantage of that. And you know, you blow enough games that you should win, then I don't care how talented you are, that pressure begins to mount. And I would say that's what LeBron and the Lakers are counting on, that, you know what, we're just going to continue to play like we did the regular season. We came out and we played every night, and we ended up with the best record in the Western Conference. And the Clippers looked at it and said, well, we beat the Lakers. Like, that's the only team we have to worry about. If we beat them, we're good. We don't have to worry about the rest of the games or the teams. And that's why they are where they are. So we'll see which approach pays off. When you don't focus, and when you don't develop that ability to focus for 48 minutes, I don't care how talented you are, you leave yourself vulnerable.
Well, eventually they're all going to want to care, Rick. I mean, we've been waiting on it since October, so
yeah.
Eventually it'll matter.
You're right. And who knows? I mean, maybe when they dial it all up, that's going to be enough, and they're going to get there. But And they've had moments during the season where they've made statements, but we're talking about winning 16 games in the postseason, and that's a slog. And we'll ultimately see. I'm still going to say that, you know, I expect the Clippers to come out of the West, but I'd like to see them dial it up at some point. I'd like to see Montrezl Harrell. Period. Like, we haven't even seen him in the bubble yet, so they're raising some questions.
All right, so we got Clippers, we got Lakers, we got Bucks. Do we have a dark horse or two? Do you see popping their bubbles?
I still like the Toronto Raptors in terms of they have the depth, they have the experience, they have the size, they have the ability to control tempo. I think all of those things are big factors. I also, you know, one of the things in talking to players that are in the bubble is do you create your own energy? Do you have players either on the bench or just within your team that create energy? And the Raptors have that. The Lakers have that. The Bucks have that. They have guys that get everybody else going emotionally. And with no fans in the building, with no home court advantage, that is an element that players that I've talked to think is going to be a factor. And so it's one more reason to like the Raptors and the Lakers and the Bucks. And it's one more reason to wonder if the Clippers, with the great Sphinx leading them, Kawhi Leonard, are going to be able to generate that internal combustion that's going to make up for the fact that they don't have any live fans out there.
You can follow him on Twitter, at Rick Bucher. That is at Rick Bucher. He will always tell you the truth. Fox Sports 1, Bleacher Report, NBA Insider.
No matter what it costs me. No matter what it costs me.
I want you to call one of your kids in the room right now and tell them how they're disappointing you. Go.
I did that earlier today.
I'm just picturing you in your office with a big blackboard, and you just flip it over and go, all right, here's what we got to do, and here's what you have to do differently.
You have to rotate and pick up for the rest of the family.
Have you been talking to my daughter?
Oh, yeah, you see what she's putting on Instagram about you. Wow.
Dude, you're making jokes. That ain't that far away from the truth.
We have daughters too, Rick.
Take it easy, buddy. Brother. Have a good night,
Rick. All right.
See you, buddy. Man.